Day 5. Congratulations. You've made it through your first week.
End of the first week. And if you fell behind a little bit, then that's why you've got Saturday, Sunday.
Yep. Catch up. So today we're in Numbers 3 and 4, 6 and 11 through 14.
Yeah, there was a lot here in Numbers. Yeah. And it gets a little dry, right? Because a lot of what you're reading in Numbers is that, a census. So you're reading about, well, here's all these kinds of people, and here's everybody from this clan, and all the people from this clan. And chapter 3 starts with the Levites. Mm-hmm. And we already talked about them in Leviticus. That, by the way, that's why Numbers is called Numbers, because it's counting.
Yep.
And the Levites are this tribe of the priests, so it matters, and God goes through kind of how they're his, and they're set apart for him.
Mm-hmm. There's this newly built tabernacle in the wilderness, so he's kind of establishing Aaron and his sons as the heads of it. Right?
Yeah, you're the priest, but the Levites help you because you can't do everything. And so when the tabernacle has to get packed up and move, I mean, that's God's holy place, so it has to be done carefully and precisely. And when we move the ark, like here's
see
how
what
we,
happens to people who don't do move
right,
the ark
we'll read that later. Like, oh, you that's not good.
Poor Uzzah.
So like we see this picture, and so God is telling us, like, these people matter. This is who they are, and here are the specific jobs they have. Mm-hmm. That's why in this, it's like, yes, we read about the clan and all the people in it, but we read about what they specifically do. They're in charge of the curtains. Mm-hmm. They're in charge of the walls. They're in charge of the ark. They're in charge of the this. And they were to take pride in the thing, because this was like, this is where God lived among the Israelites. That, I mean, this is how they looked at the tabernacle and later the temple. Mm-hmm. This is God's home. Like, it's his footstool, right? He owns everything, and he lives above. Like, he is, you know, always above us. But this is where he dwells among you. And so they are to take this seriously, because this is God's dwelling place among the people. And so chapters 3 and 4 really lay that out, what everybody's role is. Yep. And then you get to chapter 6, and we read this weird description of somebody called a Nazirite.
Yeah.
And God's basically saying, look, if you want to make a special vow of your child, right, then this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. These are the restrictions. Don't cut their hair. They can't drink wine. They have to stay clean. There's all of this thing. And then when they're done being a Nazirite, there has to be this process of redemption and all of it.
They're visibly and morally set apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are two famous examples. There are two famous examples of Nazirites in Scripture. One goes well, one goes poorly. The one that people think of all the time as a Nazirite is Samson.
Yes.
Right? And Samson is Nazirite in name only.
Yeah. I don't get that guy.
And he doesn't cut his hair. So he has long hair like a Nazirite would, but otherwise, I mean, he is ceremonially unclean, immoral, and we'll talk about him. I think as we get into Judges, we'll read about him a little bit, and it'll come up in our series too that we're doing. But the other one is John the Baptist.
Yep.
John the Baptist is Nazirite in entirely, right? Like he is the picture of what God has in mind when he says set apart. And
Samuel's the other one I was thinking.
Samuel, yes, yes, of course. I was just jumping ahead. I'm so excited. I love John the Baptist.
Yes.
But yeah, so we get these pictures of people that do it well, but Samson does not.
No. I got so many questions about Samson.
Yeah, the Nazirite is just, and again, you read all the details, like, why do these details matter so much to God? Listen, this is God's way of establishing that he is holy, and following him requires holiness, and it requires self-sacrifice. It requires choosing him and saying no to other things, and it's a big deal. Like, you can't, God basically establishes through the Old Testament law that you cannot follow him kind of. You can't follow him kind of. You're either in or you're out. And being a Nazirite was this way of saying and showing and demonstrating, I am all in with God. Yeah. What's great about this, though, that anybody could do this, right? Anybody could do this. So it says, like, if a man or woman wants to make a special vow, a vow of dedication to the Lord as a Nazirite, then here's what they do, right? Mm-hmm. like, this wasn't like reserved for men. This was, you know, like anybody could do this. This wasn't something that, that only the special elite could participate in. This is, but you notice that we don't read about a lot of people taking God up on this because
it's intense.
It requires a lot. So, but yeah. And then as we continue in Numbers, we get to my favorite part of the book, chapters 11 through 14. And I don't know why it's my favorite part of the book, but it's where people get whiny. And they really start to whine. At first, at the beginning of 11, we see some people complaining. And complaining about how hard it is and how bad it is. And so what God, what's God do? He's like, fine, bam. He consumes them with fire. This is where we get like the idea that this God is not to be trifled with, right? That he is to be reverently feared. He is not putting up with their rebellion. And then they're complaining like, we're sick of manna. We want meat. And God's like, really? Do you really want meat? Yeah, we really want meat. And so he sends quail. And what does it say? Like they're like waist high.
Yeah.
To the point where they're so sick of it.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we don't want meat anymore. He's like, tough.
Yeah.
Eat it. They just, but they're just whiny. And then not only do the people complain, but the leadership complains. You know, so you've got Moses, who is God is tagged Moses to lead. And then Aaron and Miriam, his brother and sister, they get jealous. They're like, well, how come God's only talking to you? We're pretty cool. We could do a good job of leading.
They make some prejudiced remarks about Moses's Ethiopian wife.
And so I love what happens here in the way that you describe it with Miriam. Like God comes in and he disciplines. The anger of, it says this, the anger of the Lord burned against them. Right? Like that's a big deal.
Yeah, and, I don't, and as you I don't say, want my name in the Bible saying that.
As you say, that he put Miriam in time out. Right? She has leprosy. And what's great about that, too, is God requires it that Moses, the one they were rebelling against, Moses is the one that has to pray for their redemption. Right? And she, because she had leprosy, she had, so it's kind of fun. But it's just a picture of the people rebelling. And then when they're finally ready to enter the land, Moses, they ask, Moses says, okay, they send in 12 spies, one from each tribe. You get two faithful, right? You get two faithful that come back.
We had a whole podcast about that.
You get two that come back.
Team Joshua or Team Caleb.
Right. And they're like, we could do this. God's with us. The land is awesome and the people are big and mighty, but so is our God. And if our God's for us, who could be against us? Let's go take the land.
One thing that I read that was interesting is that the two tribes that were... who believed God's promises were from one from the largest tribe was Joshua, and then one from the smallest tribe. Or no, Caleb was the largest tribe, and then Joshua from the smallest tribe. So like the greatest and the least.
Yeah,
like I love that.
Yeah, that you know what? That's a little side note there, right? Yeah, that's kind of fun to see, but it's so great. Like,
and then you get into the Nephilim here.
Yeah, it's just it's this picture where you know they're like, man, these people are giants. Yeah. We look like grasshoppers.
Yeah.
It you know the land is great, but we'll never be able to do it. Like they've forgotten about the Passover and the plagues. They've forgotten about how God's led them and through a parted Red Sea and how he led them by a pillar at night of fire and a cloud during the day. And they've forgotten about how he made water come out of a rock and manna fall from heaven and all the quail and he's consumed people. Like they've forgotten all of this. And they're like, oh, we can't do it. We're too weak. God won't do it for us. We're just going to die here. And
do you think they're just exaggerating about the people that they see?
Do I think they're really giants?
Yeah,
here's the thing, right? I think that Goliath...
Like, I know there's a lot of theories.
I mean, they go out of their way. Like, they go out of their way to describe Goliath.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's exaggerating.
He was way tall.
So if he existed...
Like 9 feet or something
If he existed some hundreds of years later, I have no reason to believe that these guys wouldn't be huge. And
you're not in the fallen angels camp, though, right?
No.
I didn't
Not,
think
not
so.
Necessarily,
I didn't
no.
Think so.
But,
okay.
But yeah, so I think... But they get... And then what's funny is it's like... You know, then God says, fine, you're not going to enter the land. And they're like, no, wait, we didn't mean it. We'll go. And they lose drastically in battle.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on. And they're going to wander for 40 years because of this moment. If you ever wondered why we talk about the Jews wandering in the wilderness, this is it right here. Because God says, look, I have created you to enter in this land. I'm giving it to you. Mm-hmm. These people cannot stand before you. Their sin is great. I'm driving them out because you're my special people and I want you to be here. I promised Abraham and I meant it. But they're like, no, we're scared. So God says, fine, then you won't go in. So 40 years they're going to spend wandering in the wilderness, mm-hmm. waiting. And it's problematic. But we'll see next week. They're going to get there.
Yep. So. All right. We'll see you next week, guys.